Thanks. First of all, I appreciate you calling us while the House is not in session and you're out in the district. And so you'll be off to the other parts of the district. Yeah, I know you've done some things here in Bryan-College Station. Are you going to be off in the other parts of the district during this timeout?
Yes, Scott. Today I'm up in Waco, and then I have other events planned on Thursday and Friday as well.
One of the first things I guess talk about is the Florida court ruling that goes along with the Virginia ruling having to do with Obamacare possibly being unconstitutional. Your thoughts there?
Well, I thought the judge made the right decision, and it was also interesting when you parse through his decision, he came to the correct conclusion that not only was the individual mandate unconstitutional, but because of the fact that the individual mandate was an essential part of the law and that it was not severable from the legislation as a whole, he declared the entire law void. And that's the proper decision that should be made. Now, what I'm hoping is if for some reason we can't get repealed through the Senate and through the White House, that we can get this in front of the Supreme Court as quickly as possible so that we can finish up the repeal of this law through the courts.
And we heard yesterday, kind of surprising to me, that this, in fact, may come up for a vote in the Senate.
Yes, that surprised me. You remember Harry Reid said that he would not allow this to come to the floor, and all of a sudden McConnell says he's found a way to get it onto the floor, and we've got a vote that's going to happen just any time now.
A couple of things that I noticed yesterday. First, Daniel Inouye over on the Senate side has said that he's not going to allow any earmarks from any bills for the next 2 years out of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Now, I know that there's been some thought about if you take away earmarks completely, that empowers the executive branch too much. What's your thought there?
Well, I don't know that. First of all, I'm happy that Inouye came to the conclusion that we need to stop earmarks on the Senate side. As you're aware, we're not doing it on the House.
Right.
We can set the budget in such a way, and we can set appropriations in such a way where you reduce the discretion of the administration to be able to direct to arbitrarily direct funds a direction that the in a manner that Congress doesn't want it to go. So just because earmarks are gone doesn't mean that Congress is not going to have any say over how money's spent. It's just going to be done in a fashion where we're focusing on critical projects, and that the appropriation has transparency.
Well, and I dare say that a call from a member of Congress to any authority within the Washington framework, any organization, I'm sure it's going to get attention. If you have a request or some information that you want to get about some system in Washington, they return your phone calls, don't they?
They return our phone calls. Now, how deep the influence goes, I don't know yet. I haven't been there long enough to know if you're ignored or if people pay attention to you. But time will tell.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning from out in the district while the House is not in session. House Republicans are trying to put together a floor debate plan, it seems, that's going to possibly give you an opportunity to get some of the cuts, but maybe some of those cuts won't be as deep. What are you hearing about the plan that the leadership is wanting to put together for the fiscal budget?
Well, there seem to be two different trains of thought that are underway right now. On one hand, in the Pledge to America, the Republican leadership promised that it would roll spending back to fiscal 2008 levels. Well, the media has seized on the fact that because we've only got a partial year left on this fiscal year, that if you can't do that, or let me rephrase that, if you do it, you're only cutting about $55 to $60 billion from our discretionary expenditures. And some conservative Republicans are saying, no, we need to stick with a $100 billion cut number. I think we're kind of arguing over how many people, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin,
mm-hmm.
Because the pledge was we're going to roll back to fiscal 2008 levels. And if that's $60 billion or $100 billion, I don't really care about getting in the weeds that deeply, because what I can tell you is neither number is high enough. We need to be looking at cuts that are much deeper than that, because we've got a deficit this year of about $1.3 trillion. Next year's deficit is going to be $1.5 trillion. And so whether it's $60 billion or $100 billion in cuts, neither number is adequate. So we've got to we've got to be much more aggressive in looking at those.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning. Now, the continuing resolution vote has to happen sometime early in March. And, of course, we're only 5 months into fiscal year 11, but still, that's what you're talking about. You've still got to get that continuing resolution passed. You see that happening.
Right. We've got three big votes coming up. The continuing resolution, because the current resolution of funding government runs out March the 4th. Then we have a budget resolution that will be considered by Congress for fiscal 12. And then the debt ceiling increase vote will come up somewhere in the, I'm guessing at this point, the April-May time frame.
Now, we heard last week for the first time, once again, that it's not off the table that the government might get shut down again. And this is something that we haven't heard talked about since Newt Gingrich was the speaker. As member of the majority party in the House, would you be in favor of the government shutting down this continuing resolution not getting passed?
Well, you'd never want the government to shut down if you can avoid it. If you look at the way the leadership is structured in Washington today, you've got one party that controls half of the legislative branch, and it controls all of the executive branch, and then you've got the Republicans that control half of the legislative branch. It seems to me like that you pretty well are forced to go to the least common denominator, the ones. In other words, you can't force the Republicans in the House to want to spend more than what the American people have told us is an appropriate number. So if we say we want to spend X, it's going to be hard for me to see how the Senate or the President are going to get you to spend more than X. And if they elect to fight and a continuing resolution doesn't get passed and non-essential government services get shut down, well, that's the decision that they make. You know, our goal would be to keep the government open, but to have its cost a lot less than what it costs today.
Have you yet, or do you expect to talk to state leaders as far as what the state is looking to Washington? Because obviously there's a budget crisis in Austin as well.
To the best of my knowledge, there have been no state leaders come to Washington asking for money, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be in the know on all those conversations. I expect that some of them will come to Washington looking for money. I would not expect that those efforts would be successful. The states have their issues that they have to deal with, and unfortunately, the issues the fiscal issues at the federal level have a lot more zeros behind them than the ones at the states. And so, I think we've got to each get our individual houses in order. And so, if I were in a governor's shoes, or let me rephrase it, I would recommend that governors not come to us or legislators come to federal government asking for a bailout.
All right, same question then regarding Texas A&M.
Well, Texas A&M, if you look at the issues, the reason Texas A&M is having a funding problem is because the state of Texas is having a funding problem. The reason the state of Texas is having a funding problem is because we've got an economy in this country that's performing well below where it should be for this point in time in a typical recovery. The way we fix that is to get the federal government out of the way of the private sector. If we can start focusing in Washington on growing private sector jobs and creating an environment that will facilitate a robust economy and getting the regulatory bodies out of the way of the private sector, then all of a sudden we've cured the problems. Because you have a robust economy, that means Texas gets more tax revenues, and that means the state of Texas can properly fund Texas A&M. That's the way to fix this, is help the economy heal at a rate it should be healed for this point in time in a recovery, and get out of the way of the private sector so it'll grow like it should.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us on most Wednesdays. Again, Congress not in session, so we thank you for taking the time to do that. You can hear the entire interview. It'll be archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Bill.
Glad to talk to you, Scott, and best wishes to you and all of your listeners.
All right, talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.